Is there anybody here that doesn't have problems? If you don't have any problems, go ahead and go to sleep. This lesson is not intended for you. Who has problems? I want us to talk today about what do you need? And I want to briefly, I'm not going to go into detail about 7 Bible stories, but I want us to put ourselves in the position of 7 people in the Bible. And having done that, we'll try to make application near the end of this lesson about us. What do you need? Think about Abraham when there was famine in the land of promise. Genesis chapter 12 is where that's found. He's left Ur of the Chaldees. God said, leave Ur and go to a land that I'll show you, and I'll give you this land. Archaeologists have discovered that they had indoor plumbing in the houses in Ur. The average size of the house in Ur was at least 3,000 square feet. That's bigger than the houses of almost every one of us here. And he leaves that and goes and lives in a tent. Travels 1,000 miles to a distant land, to a place where there are people speaking languages he does not understand, and he arrives in that land. And can you imagine when he saw the land that flowed with milk and honey, and God said, this is it, Abraham. A little bit later he was going to say, Abraham, you walk all over this land, and every place that your feet touch, you walk anywhere you want to, and every step that you take, I'm going to give you this land, and it is abundant, and it flows with milk and honey. Sounds good. Life is so wonderful when we're on mountaintops. Genesis chapter 12 says, there was a famine in that land, and it was a very great famine. Now, Abraham is a rich man. You look a little bit later in this same chapter, and it talks about all of the things that he had. But verse 10 says, there was a severe famine. And Abraham, because of the famine, leaves that land that God's given to him, a land flowing with milk and honey. Guess what? There's no milk, there's no honey in that land when he leaves it. And all of a sudden, that mountaintop experience that he was on, you've been there, haven't you? You've been at those places in your life in which if somebody said, how are things going? You'd say, they've never been going better in my life. And there Abraham is, and he goes down to the land of Egypt. But before he ever gets down to the land of Egypt, he sees his beautiful wife. Isn't that remarkable? He not only has this great land, but he has one of the most beautiful women on earth. So beautiful that when he gets down into the land of Egypt, the people, when they see this beautiful woman, Sarah, they say to Abraham, they go to Pharaoh and says, you got to look at, she's the woman that you need. And now there's that famine. And now Abraham lies in his bed all alone at night because Pharaoh's taken his wife. Abraham, what do you need? I need my wife, and I need food. What do you need, Abraham? I don't need what I've got. It all used to be so different, and now it's all messed up. You ever been there? Life is not lived on mountaintops. Job, tell us what you need. You look at the book of Job, and it is remarkable. Let me tell you how God looked down, and God saw Job, and God said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on this earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. How you doing, Job? Well, let's see, I have 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters, and I have 7,000 sheep, I have 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a large household, and I am the greatest of all of the people in the East. How's it going, Job? I'm on a mountaintop. I've got all of these possessions. God's given me all of these things, and things could not be better in my life. And even the God of heaven looks down and looks at him, and he looks at him spiritually, and God says to the devil, there's nobody on this earth that has the spirituality of Job. Do you know how long it takes you to read, starting in verse 6 to the end of that first chapter? Depending on the speed at which you read, maybe 15, maybe 20 seconds, maybe as long as a minute. And in 1 minute's time, every bit of it was taken away from him. Every bit of the possession. And we're not going to look, spend time at the... But those who were in charge of the camel said, we lost them all. And those who were in charge of the donkey says, we've lost them all. And we've lost all of the sheep. And to top it all, there's a tornado comes. There's this mighty wind and kills all 10 of his children at once. Some of you have felt the agony and the pain of losing one child. Could you imagine losing all 10 of your children at one time? And then, immediately after that, there boils on Job. Young people, you don't know what boils are. Penicillin has done away with that, but some of us are old enough to remember what boils were. It's just a sore that gets infected and it gets pus underneath of it and it swells up unbelievably. I remember having those and telling my sister, don't you even look at them. There's no pain like it. Interesting. From the top of his head to the sole of his feet, he's covered with boils. There's no place to sit down, to stand up, to even stand on your head without the pain of these boils. Job, what you need? I need a doctor. I need some financial assurance. Job, what do you need? I need my children back. Life is not lived on mountaintops. You know that. Teens, you'll know that. Even in your young age, you know there are valleys. Speaking of teens, what about Joseph? 17 years of age, and he heads down. He just leaves. He's a great kid. He's a responsible kid. God says, go find out how your brothers are doing. And he goes, and he goes to the places where his brothers are, and they're not at that place. He has to go to another place. He's well matured in many respects, responsible. He can find his brothers, and he goes there. You know the story. They're ready to kill him. Joseph, tell me about the mountaintop. I've got the coat of many colors, and I'm not the one out taking care of those smelly sheep. I'm the one in the house. My brothers, they're the ones that's out there, but I get to stay in the air conditioning, figuratively. Everything's going great. And they're ready to kill him. Finally, there's the intervention of that older brother, and that doesn't work out very good because he's now down to the land of Egypt. He's on the auction block. And in his mind, perhaps he thought, my dad will come down here just any time and buy me back. He perhaps never figures out exactly what's happened. For sure he doesn't know what's happening to his dad. 13 years later, or more than 20, well, when he's 37, is that 20 years later? Doesn't even know if his father's still alive. What's happened, Joseph? I'm down here in the stinking land of Egypt, and I'm a slave, and they lie about me, and I'm in jail. And what do you need, Joseph? I need freedom. I need my dad. David, what about you? Greatest king there was, a man after God's own heart, mountaintop experience. For when he becomes king, every nation crumbles around him. He becomes one of the most powerful influences in the world. Even kings from distant places are sending treasures to him. Everything's going wonderful. And then all of a sudden, that day happens when sin enters into his life, and the consequences of his sin is that Bathsheba is having that baby and has the baby, and he's dying. What do you need, David? I need some way to help Bathsheba. I need some way to keep this baby alive. And I know he's going to die, but I know the nature of God, and perhaps God will make it all right. David, what do you need? You've been there, haven't you? What do you need? We sang it, did we not? How long has it been? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long has it been since your heart knew no burden? How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? Did you worship when you sang that? Did your emotions begin to think about things happening in your life that you just wish were not there, and you'd do anything if they were not there to get rid of them? Life's not lived on the mountaintops. David, what you need? I need to go back and relive a decision I made 9 months ago. Apostles, after the crucifixion, what do you need? Well, we had it. We had that successful fishing business, the four who were fishermen that we know of, and the tax collector had to be doing all right himself. And now all of a sudden, they who had invested their lives in Jesus no longer have Jesus. They've been on the mountaintop. I want you to hear this. They've been on the mountaintop experience. He sent them out and given them power to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to cast out demons. Lord, we've left all and followed You, and heart and soul, they invested it all in Christ. And now He's dead. Here the emotions in the heart, as two of those disciples on the road to Emmaus said, we had hoped that He was the one. Had hope, past tense. What do you need, apostles, after crucifixion? I need to go back to a decision I made 3 years ago and make different ones when you said, come follow me. This has ended in futility. And now they've killed Him, and who knows but what they're killing us. They were meeting in secret, weren't they? What do you need, apostles? We need to go back and revisit a decision we made months ago, years ago. And this is one, the details are not specified, but if Lois is everything I think Lois was, who had an unbelievable faith in God, Lois is Timothy's grandmother. Lois's daughter is Eunice, and she has faith in God, but for some reason, somehow, circumstances develop that she marries somebody who's not a believer in God. And so even that child that is born that should on the eighth day should have been circumcised is uncircumcised. The guy she's married to, his influence is such that she's really, really having trouble living a godly life. Think about grandmother. Folks, have you ever heard for your children? Having children is not a lifetime spent on a mountaintop. What do you need, Lois? How do you verbalize it? I know what I don't need. I don't need these problems that I'm having in my life. Eunice, I don't need this man in my life. I've got him and I can't get rid of him. I don't need him in my life. And Paul, when he shipwrecked on the island of Miletus, not Miletus, Malta. What do you need, Paul? You read right before the shipwreck in the Bible, Luke's writing, and he said, all hope that we would be saved was lost. We hadn't seen the sun in 14 days. Haven't been able to do a sighting for 14 days. Have not been able to use whatever device you would use to find where you are in that great Mediterranean Sea. And they're fearful. They're about to run aground down in North Africa. There's this hurricane wind-like that is blowing and has blown them all over the place. The ship's about to sink. What do you need, Paul? I need the Coast Guard. You been there? That's why the last one put on the screen is. Child of God, somebody sitting here in this audience this morning, what do you need? Young and old, junior high kids, what do you need? Got problems in your life? Senior high? Got problems? Young adults, you have problems? College age kids, you have problems? And I don't know how to keep going up progressively in age, but if we had any old folks here, you have any problems? What do you need? Can we go through the list one more time? Abraham, what do you need? You see it, don't you? You know the three-letter answer to that question. I just need God. See, God's greater than the problems of Pharaoh, and God is greater than the famine, and God is greater than not being in the land that flowed with milk and honey. What do you need, Abraham? I need God. Job, what do you need? I need God. Joseph, teenager, what do you need? Things are messed up in my life. Joseph, what do you need? God? David, what do you need? God? Apostles who had hoped, what do you need? God? Lois, what do you mean? What do you need? God? Paul in that shipwreck? What do you need? God? And to every person in this audience this morning, what do we need? God. That's remarkable. You see the words at the top of that screen that says, what do we need? Look at the next slide. Change those top words, the rest stay the same. He's all I've got and all I need. You understand that? Nate, can we go back to slide 2, to the scripture reading back there on slide number 2? I bet you thought I was going to talk about giving. No, I want to talk about God. I want you to look at verse 8. Verse 8. They're in poverty whenever this contribution is being made. They're poor. God is able to make. You see the word all? Would you underline the word all? To make all grace abound toward you, so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every
good work. He's all I've got, but He's all I need. And when you are in that valley that can be so filled with despair, that you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for He's with you. The only question is, do you have God? That's the only question. If you're not a Christian, then this sermon is not for you. I got bad news for you. You're on your own. You're by yourself in that valley, and you'll never fix it. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is faithful who has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His rod and His staff will comfort you. And in the midst of the valley, He's still there. But He doesn't do that if you're not His child. You need to believe in Jesus. I'm not talking about some, well, I sort of believe in. I'm talking about, I'm going to commit my life. I'm going to throw every bit of myself. I'm going to throw my heart and soul into the camp of Jesus. I'm going to be a Christian because I believe that story about Jesus. I really believe that those who had hope now have hope. Those who were in the valley, those apostles, now have hope, and you can have that same hope because you've got God in your life. When you decide to follow Him and when you've confessed that you believe He's the Son, why wouldn't you gladly say, I believe He's the Son of God? He is. And then to submit to being baptized that every sin in your life might be washed away. He'll make you a part of His family. And for the first time, you can pray, My Father who is in heaven. And God will say, that's My child praying. If you don't have that, you need it. But sometimes Christians give up on the Lord. Sometimes they get their lives so messed up, they give up. Folks, don't do that. Don't turn your back on the only hope you have of getting out of that valley. My God shall supply all your needs. And if you have God, you're not in that valley by yourself. If God's not in your life, and this church can do anything to help you get Him in your life, won't you come down to the front and let us know how we can help you? As together we stand, will you come?